This is Scott Hamilton with Lehem News. Welcome to another of our podcast series, 10 Minutes About. Today's episode is 10 Minutes About the New Boeing Airplane. With me today is Bjorn Firm, LNA's aerospace engineer and aircraft economic expert. On December 8th, our friends, and they are our friends, Richard Abulafia, Kevin Michaels, and Ron Epstein appeared on a Zoomcast organized by Boeing's Touch Labor Union, the IAM 751. Abulafia is with the Teal Group, Michaels is with Aerodynamics Advisory, and Epstein is the aerospace analyst with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. They covered a lot of ground. The relevant portion for us today is what they think the next Boeing airplane should be. They think the NBA should basically be a modern-day 757 with new technology. We here at LNA have a different view, and we're going to talk about this today. With that, the clock is now ticking. Now, we think that the next Boeing airplane should be a twin-aisle airplane, that it should be in that 200 to 250 passenger size, and it should be about 5,000 nautical mile range. In other words, it would be very similar to the NMA that the Boeing could not make a decision on, and we can talk about why we think they were having difficulty doing that. Bjorn, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely think that their thinking in that seminar was too narrow thinking. Boeing and any OEM, they are planning from, in this case, 2030 out to 2060. And you have to look at the midpoint of that. This is what you're planning for. And we know that Boeing always has a couple of horses in the race. They have definitely a twin aisle and they have a single aisle. And then they have different scenarios, and they have scenarios market growing faster than everyone expect, growing as people expect, or growing less fast. And then they test the fit of these two alternatives, and I would say minimum two alternatives, which they it's very easy to keep in the race until you are into detailed design.
Now, one of the things that Boeing did with the NMA is that they really grew it up to 270 passengers. That was probably a little bit too large of an airplane. But I'd like to remind people, and it's out there in the internet if you know where to look and what to look for. Back in 2011, when Boeing was debating whether to re-engine the 737 or to go with a new airplane, Boeing was looking at a three-member twin-aisle family starting at 180 seats. And yet, as Boeing moved to the NMA, they dropped the smaller version because they didn't want to encroach on the MAX. And they grew the airplane to 270 seats, which began to encroach on the 787-8. Now, our three friends on the IAM Zoomcast really were looking at only a 757 replacement. And to me, that is a me too airplane, even if you update some of the technology to the A321. If you go with a composite wing on the 757 modernization, Airbus can easily do a composite wing on the A321. They put new engines on the 757 replacement modernization. Airbus can put new engines on the 321. It becomes a 322 plus that's been talked about. Bjorn, go ahead and weigh in there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if Boeing has waited now, I don't know how long, since the 787 to do a new aircraft, to come out with a Me Too to an A321 or 322, it's not good enough. They definitely have to look at how can we actually leap ahead. And one advantage of a twin aisle is your turnaround times. You get people in and out faster. And faster turnaround times means more time in the air and more productive and move passengers during the day.
Now, I've talked to people about this concept of quickly turning the airplane around. You get the people N-planing and deplaning on the twin aisle faster than single aisle. At least that's the theory. However, it's been pointed out that you still have a choke point as you deplane the airplane, insofar as that you go through a door that people really will go through the door one at a time, and the jetway is still a one at a time disembarkation up the jetway. So where does the advantage come in the turnaround time?
Well, if you look at it, how people deplane, it's actually when people pick their things together and actually the guy in front just hasn't got his bag down. This is where you have the stockings, where things bounce up. And as soon as you get in the jetway, you can look at how the distances increase between people and they can pass each other. So it's actually the entrance door, which needs to be a wide one. But once you're in the jetway, this is no longer a problem. It's in the aircraft that you have the time lost.
So the driving factor of a new airplane, whatever it is going to be the engine. You know, the airframe tends to give you about 5% better fuel economy by the time you're all done. It's the engine where you need to get that double-digit fuel savings. How soon is a new engine going to be ready for Boeing or Airbus to go with the next new airplane?
We talk about 7 years to develop a new aircraft. You might be able to shorten that with modern engineering technologies. But an engine will take at least 7 years because now no one wants to have an unproven engine. And while it takes perhaps 5 years to develop the engine, you need that 2 extra years at least to really run the engine in actual service on test aircraft, like Airbus did with the 380 when they put an engine on it and ran it for a long time. You know, they took one engine out and put another one on, I think it was for the XWB, the 350, and they had another year under the belt of the engine. That's definitely something that OEMs want from now.
Well, we know that Rolls-Royce has been testing new engines, developing the UltraFan and the Advance engine. When will those engines be ready for prime time?
End of this decade.
And what about CFM or GE and Pratt & Whitney? Pratt & Whitney, of course, is really married toward the geared turbofan. CFM can't really grow the leap much beyond where it is today. What can Pratt & Whitney and GE/CFM do?
CFM can grow the leap. Even it's just that they need a relief on the contract with the GE where the exclusivity stops. But that's just, you know, politics and paperwork. Both the geared turbofan from Pratt & Whitney and the LEAP can be grown with new technology. It's just a new incremental development of those engines that is needed for this new aircraft type.
So our three friends said that they think Boeing needs to have an entry into service airplane around 28 or 29. Would engines be ready by then, or do they have to wait until 2030 for the engines to be ready and mature?
It depends on when Boeing says they commit to a new project. You know, the engine guys can't sit around until 23, 24 and suddenly know that they should have an engine ready by 28, 29. That doesn't work. Someone has to go to them and say, look, there is serious money behind that. There's going to be an aircraft. You better start working on a new engine.
Very good. I think we've covered the ground in our 10 minutes about. And so until next time, thanks, Bjorn. We'll talk to you again.